think that was pretty much it on the announcements. On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down scripture references I'd like to share with you this morning. So if you would like to write some notes down, we'll have some on the screen. If you have your Bible, I would like to invite you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. It's the fifth book of the New Testament, Acts chapter 1. And once you get your hands free, we'll make our confession together. And let me join you, Acts chapter 1. Again, a few verses we'll put on the screen that we won't turn to for sake of time, but we do want you to have those. Acts chapter 1, and if you just hold your spot there with me. And if you have your Bibles, if you would, and I'll mention this real quick. Do have some new articles out on the table there, along with the cards to sign at the back of the sanctuary there. So please help yourself if you're interested in those, okay? If you're ready, would you join me as we make this confession? The words are on the screen. We invite you to join us online as well. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Before I read this first verse, just to give you a little setup, I don't need to tell you this, but our world is inundated with bad news. And I look at it from a Christian and a scriptural perspective, which is this simply reveals the sinful state of our hearts. We are out of fellowship with God. In that light, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, this is after Jesus has returned to life. He came back. He was to life from the dead. He rose from the grave. He was with his disciples for 40 days. Now he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And we read these words in verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, speaking of Jesus' followers with him, they asked him, it's actually worded, they kept asking him. Every time they would get together after he was raised from the dead, they just kept asking him this question, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? See, the hope of Israel was they had a messianic hope. They wanted to return to the glory of days of like King David. They knew one of his descendants would come as the Messiah. And the days of Solomon, and they were living under Roman oppression and Roman rule. And they kept asking him, are you going to give us the kingdom back? You're going to restore Israel now? Return the glory days? And he's going to answer them, but it's not with the answer that they thought. Because our remedy to what is going on in the world today is not in our kingdom. It's not in just the earthly kingdom, as important as they all are. The remedy we need is Jesus to come and change our hearts. We need the power of the gospel, as the scripture says. I'll give you that scripture reference in just a moment. In fact, let me just go ahead and give it to you since I referred to it. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Many of you know what gospel means. What does it mean? Good news. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So what we need, as much as people's hearts may be well-intentioned and so forth, all of the earthly, the kingdoms, we need, as Jesus said, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need Jesus to come and cleanse our hearts and change our hearts from sin. And we need the power of God as revealed in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to change us and reach us. That is the hope that is the good news we have to offer people today. Because if we agreed on everything, let's just say politically, for example, and you don't have Jesus, then how have I helped you? because Jesus asked the question, if what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what have you gained? So he says, the answer is not, he didn't give them the explanation that they were maybe thinking. Let me give you one more scripture before I tell you what Jesus said. If you want to write it down, it's in Matthew 28, Matthew chapter 28. This is another account of right before Jesus ascended. And verse 18 says this, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, or the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If for those of us who are followers of Jesus, he calls us as his followers to share the good news and disciple people. Because that's what's going to change. If our world needs to be changing or changed, I think we can all agree it does. The ultimate change comes from God himself, who cleanses our heart, changes our heart. If a man's heart or anyone's heart is changed, then they can grow closer to the Lord and grow more like him and see the world changed. But it starts on the inside. That's how God works. He works from the inside out. And sharing our faith is simply living our faith. To love God, we love him enough to do what he said, and we love people enough to share the good news with them. So it's loving God and loving people, as Jesus said, the two most important commandments. Then I'll say this before I give you this, because this goes in fact, let me just tell you what the message is today. It's simply this: we are the Lord's messengers. We are the Lord's messengers. God has chosen to use those who know his forgiveness to share his forgiveness with others. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we share the good news, not just a canned speech and hammering people holier than thou, but loving them enough to live the gospel and then to share the gospel. And here is on this, for those of you who may be listening, today is International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. Why would someone persecute a believer trying to tell them the good news of Jesus? I believe it shows the spiritual battle over our lives and destinies. There is a battle for our souls, and that's what brings it about. And so as much as I want to walk in the favor of God and don't want to experience any kind of ridicule, loss, persecution, the fact of the matter is that if we are obedient to the Lord's command, everyone's not going to be happy, and we will face maybe rejection, maybe ridicule, maybe even attack or persecution from some. That's where we have to make the decision. Am I going to do what the Lord wants me to do, or am I going to cower to the fear of man? We are the Lord's messengers. Now, having said that, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. This is how Jesus answers. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but, verse 8, you shall receive power, or ability, dunamis is the Greek word. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, or you shall be my witnesses right in your own hometown of Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, cross-culturally. That's what is known as the so-called West Bank today. And then going out further to the end of the world, the end of the earth. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to be effective messengers, we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you shall receive power, and it's by the power and grace of God's Holy Spirit that we are effective witnesses, and we share the truth and live it out with those who are around us. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, we are the Lord's messengers? And I like to say it like Dr. Tony Evans does. Visible and verbal. It's not one or the other. It's not just that I'm preaching at you verbal. It's I'm trying to live it out. It's show and tell. I'm a follower of Jesus, and then I tell you about Jesus. So it's not the silent, I'm hiding my faith either. So it's living our faith, and then sharing our faith as the Lord's messengers. And we need the Holy Spirit right off the bat, because it's only God's Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin to begin with. If we don't realize that we have sinned and we need a Savior, we'll never turn to Him. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. We have to address that. But He also draws us to the truth of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when we open our heart to believe in Jesus as Lord and confess Him, then His Holy Spirit helps us and empowers us to be witnesses and messengers to others as well. Let me ask you to write this scripture down. I'll just read it to you. Then we'll turn to a scripture in the book of Romans. It's found in 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. The Bible says this, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, keep God first place in your heart and always be ready. Would you say that with me? Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're to respect people and we're to be kind, but we're also to be courageous and uncompromising as well in our lives and message. I just thought about this. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Not just that you'll say witnessing, but that you will be. It's who He makes us. Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He'll give us a heart to reach people. Maybe you've never led anyone to the Lord. That's not a put down. But you probably have a heart. If you know the Lord, you have a heart to see people come to Jesus, because that is birthed in us by God's Holy Spirit. So He says, if someone asks you, always be ready to give them. And I want to give you 5 verses before we're done, if you want to write them down toward the end as we get to that, to help equip you and prepare you, like a little salvation summary. But He goes on, He says this after verse 15. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Would you turn to the book of Romans with me? Just if you're there in Acts, turn over to Romans chapter 10. If you just hold your spot. Actually, you know, let's turn to Romans 3, please, if you would. Romans chapter 3. And we'll look there. I wanted to read something to you. Do y'all remember the African Children's Choir when we had them and the tour leader was named Timothy? This is something he stayed with Jack and Linda and a couple of boys with him. And this is something that he emailed about the church that I want to share with you. He said, God wants to expand you as a church so you may minister God's love to the broken and bound. God wants to use us to reach the broken and bound and expand the church by reaching people. So I appreciate His word. I want to set myself in agreement with that, that's what God would have us to do. There's a brother that attends a church where Brittany is there in Lynchburg. He said, nothing shows ownership of your faith like sharing your faith. Nothing shows ownership of your faith like sharing your faith. I will give you these verses in Romans, but just to set it up, Jesus said this in the last days before He returns. This is in Matthew 24. He said, in the last days, many will be deceived. He said, in the last days, many will be offended and hate one another. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is even coming back in our lifetime, but does that sound like our day? I mean, rampant deception, the offense, the hatred. And then He said this, and because lawlessness will abound. Does that sound like? Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, all of them, many, 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 the love of many will grow cold. And yet, in this present darkness, Jesus said, this good news of the kingdom is going to go into all the world, and then the end will come. It's right in that darkness that we shine brightly the light of Jesus within us. That's the good news. We have a living hope because Jesus conquered death. It's a privilege to be the Lord's messengers. Typically, we don't hide good news. If we have some good news, we like to share it. We have good news spiritually that can change someone's life and eternity, and it's just loving them, loving God enough to share it. So I'll ask you just a silly question. I know the answer, but I just want to reinforce something here. Do you want people to know Jesus? I know you do. Let me read you this. I ask you to turn to Romans 3:23, or hold it in just a minute. I want to give you two verses first, but I want to read them from the New Living Translation. They'll be on the screen if you want to write them down. This is how it words it in the New Living Translation. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 14, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" You see how important it is that we share the good news. I for one, am grateful. I know I'm not the only one that someone shared the good news with me and brought me to the Lord and even kept working on me when I was out of fellowship with him trying to be cool, and he didn't let me just go away, but he lovingly drew me back. And when I turned back to him, I can take you to the spot and tell you what I was doing, that the Lord's heart and arms were open and he welcomed me. And I thank God he's been dealing with me and working with me ever since. I'll never arrive in this life, but I just want to be real before people. I just want to be genuine. If you look for perfection in me, I will fail you. But I hope that I don't fail you in just being real and being genuine, that even when I fall, as I do, as all believers do on occasion, I'll be quick to repent and I want to make it right and stay close fellowship with God and with you, my brothers and sisters, before him. So let me give you this. We are the Lord's verbal and visible witnesses. And I would just say this before I give you these verses. Let's lead the way to Jesus. Let's lead the way to him and let's pray, because there is a spiritual battle. The Bible says the reason people are lost is because Satan has blinded their hearts and minds. So we want to pray for the light of the gospel. We want to pray for that deception and darkness to be pulled away so that they can see the light. And then we've got to plant and water gospel seeds. Let's give a clear message. Let's not mix it or dilute it. People need the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So let's give them a clear message. And then I want to give you these verses, but it's not a canned speech. We got to follow the leading of God's Spirit. Remember what Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." So let me give you the first one. It's Romans 3:23. It simply says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, I want to put these, thank you, Clarence, for we'll put these verses up on the screen here. If you want to write them down, I give you a quick summary of what they mean. When they're all up, I just thought about this yesterday, I guess, because how many of you use your Bible like this? It's a written, the book version. How many of you use the phone? You have like an app that you use? Not too many. Okay, I have an app, but typically I use this more often, especially when I'm at home or at church. But here's what I did when I tried to learn, when I wanted to be able to share the gospel with someone years ago. I just stuck with one verse. I memorized Romans 3:23. And so what I did is in my Bible, I said, I can do one verse. So I memorized one verse, and then instead of memorizing 4 or 5, what I did was, right beside "for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," I put 6:23. And so if I remembered one verse, then I went to 6:23. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And then I put the next reference, and I went there. So I was able to, by just memorizing and learning one verse, I was able to follow those other verses because I had them marked. Now, when they're all up like this, if you have the technology, you can take your phone and take a picture of all 5 of them if you want. That way you'll have it on your phone as well. I didn't want to say, like I've heard one pastor say, "Do you have your Bible on your phone?" And he said, "Okay, open your phony Bible to up." No. It's not a phony Bible, but I just like the book version. So, but Romans 3:23 says us that we've all sinned. Romans 6:23 tells us what the penalty for that sin is. It says, "For the wages or the penalty for sin is death." Death is separation. It's not just dying physically. The reason we die physically is because we're separated from God. That's spiritual death. So the penalty for sin is death. And then the second part of that verse says, But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Then the third step that I would say out of the five here is that Jesus died for our sins. And again, I'll give you that reference, those of you maybe joining online as well. So we've all sinned. The penalty is death, and Jesus died for our sins. Thank God, that is the good news. The price, the penalty for our sin has already been paid. It was paid 2,000 years ago when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and when he said, "It is finished," it was done. And now he offers eternal life, and that goes into the fourth one, which says that Jesus was raised. The hymn says, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the earth today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say." How does it say it? "I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Thank God. That's what separates Christianity. It's the blood and the life of Jesus that separates Christianity from every other religion on the face of this earth. So we have good news to share. So all have sinned. That means me. I've sinned. The penalty for my sin is death. Jesus died to pay for my sins. He's alive, and then finally, believe in Jesus as Lord, and you will be saved. And those are Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I'll tell you what they say if you just want to continue to write. The Bible says in those verses that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, and this is the key. Let me pause there a second. It's good sometimes to lead a person in prayer, to pray what we call a salvation prayer, a sinner's prayer. But it has to come from the heart. That's the key. Because it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is made righteous. And then with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. I've done... Sister Michelle asked me this morning about a specific baptism. And if I had a younger pastor, maybe just someone started in the ministry and I could give him a little advice, I would say this. When you start doing weddings and funerals, baptisms, keep a record of it. I didn't do that. I wish I would have looking back over 30-something years, but I didn't. And that's okay. It's not like a right or wrong, just to be able to refer back. But of the weddings that I've done, overwhelming majority are what people would choose to do, what I call traditional vows, where I would say, you just repeat after me, "I so-and-so, I take you to be my wedded wife." And so they repeat the vows. So they're repeating after me, but if their hearts weren't already joined together, you see how they would just be going through the formality of an outward? And that's where it has to be the work of God's Holy Spirit to draw us and make the truth real to us. When that happens, then however it may, you repeat a prayer, or maybe you just say, "God, I don't even know 100% if you're real or not, but if you are, I'm giving myself to you. Here I am." I know some people who have just prayed something along that line, but it was genuine, it was real, and it was in response to the Holy Spirit, and God changed their life. He's the key. So we believe with our heart, and then we confess with our mouth. That's a little salvation summary. So we cover those. If we skip one of those, I don't think we had the full gospel. If we don't think, "Well, I haven't sinned," then I don't need a Savior. If we think, "Yeah, hey, I've maybe gone into the red a little bit. For the most part, I've been in the black. I'm good. I think I'm okay." No, the penalty is death. You separate it from God. But here's the good news. Someone loved you enough to pay for your sins. And if you put your faith in what he did on the cross and his resurrection and confess him as Lord, he'll forgive your sin. His Holy Spirit will live in you, and you'll live with him and all the saints forever. That's the message we have to share. We are the Lord's messengers. Would you say that with me? We are the Lord's messengers. And I'll close with this. I want to read something to you from the book of 1 Kings. Let me turn back to it. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. The last two verses, I believe. No, it's not. 2 Kings 6:24. The Bible says this, "And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged." Samaria was the capital of Israel. So he comes against the capital, and verse 25 says, "And there was a great famine in Samaria, in the capital, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab, or little measure of dove droppings, for 5 shekels of silver." Now, that's a bad famine, because even the price for these couple little delicacies could be outrageous. This was the condition. It got worse. I won't even go into that, of what happened. And this is what God told his prophet Elisha. God gave Elisha a word that overnight he was going to turn it around and there was going to be abundance. Overnight. So if you go to chapter 7, verse 1, "Then Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria.'" Let me pause there just a second, and then I'll pick back up and finish. And so while this is going on, no one really knew it other than those who heard Elisha's message, the king, a couple others. There were 4 lepers outside the gate of the city because they weren't allowed really to come in. And these 4 lepers said, "You know what? If we stay here, we're going to starve to death. We're dying anyway. Let's take a chance. Let's go surrender to the Syrians. And if they kill us, we're just going to die anyway. It'll be over with. Maybe they'll just be merciful, let us live." Well, they went in, and they were surprised by what they found. Look at this, if you would. Let's drop down to, let me turn the page. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse number 3. It says, "When there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine's in the city, we'll die there. If we sit here, we're going to die. Now, therefore, come, let's surrender to the army of Syrians. If they keep us alive, we'll be alive. They kill us, we're just going to die." Then verse 5, "They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there." Verse 6, "For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, and they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel is hired against us, the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.'" Think about that a moment. God can cause our enemies to hear something in the spirit. The entire army heard something, and they were so scared that Israel had hired a bunch of armies to come get them, they took off and ran for their lives. They left all their stuff. They left their tents. They left their gold, their silver, their clothes. They just took off, ran for their lives. So the 4 lepers go into the first tent. They're looking for somebody, and nobody's in the house. They see all this food. They start pigging out. They get their clothes. They got silver, gold. They went and hid it. So they said, man, they go to another tent, did the same thing. They're in abundance. They're enjoying they're reaping up. They got silver, gold. They got the money. They're eating. They got the fine clothes. They don't know what's going. And this is how they conclude it here. And the Bible says this. I'll pick it up, verse 8, read these last 2 verses. "Now when the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, carried silver, gold, clothing, and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another, and they carried something there also and went and hid that." And then verse 9, "Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. Notice, this is a day of good news. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. But you know what they did? They didn't remain silent. They went and shared the good news so that others could be blessed as well. Brothers and sisters, that's our privilege. It is our privilege that we can share the good news and others can be blessed with eternal life and others can be blessed with knowing God as their Father and the presence of God's Holy Spirit indwelling them. We are the Lord's messengers. This is a day of good news. I know it's a bunch of bad news. I said that right off the bat. We're inundated with it. But right in the midst of this darkness, can't we just share some good news with someone who's willing to hear? Everyone may not be willing. That's okay. But just like the Lord puts something in those that army's ears, he can open up someone's heart and ear. They may even be the ones kind of dogging you right now for being a Christian. But sometimes they might go through something, and they may be looking for someone to pray with them, just to offer a prayer, just to offer some comfort or encouragement. And a good news, the good news of the gospel. We have the good news to share. We are the Lord's messengers. And I'll close with this. Will you ask the Lord, and I'm going to say I'll be first in line, for his heart to reach people? And to ask the Lord for the power of his Holy Spirit to live out our faith before others? Because isn't that really the reason anyone would ask us about our hope? If they see me living like any other sinner out in the world, why would they ask me anything? But if they see something different in me, not perfection, but if they see something genuine, they might ask, what is it about you? Why aren't you joining in the cursing or this or that or whatever it is? And then we can open that door. And maybe someone here today or someone even joining online, do you want to have all your sins forgiven and know God as your Father? If God's Spirit is drawing you now, if you will believe in your heart and confess Jesus as your Lord, he'll forgive you. His Spirit will live in you. And you'll join the rest of the redeemed around his throne one day, giving him praise. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? I just want to ask, just between you and the Lord right now, if that's your desire, would you just ask him, so Lord, I want your heart. I want to be able to. I know sometimes I'm nervous, sometimes I'm scared, but I want to ask for your heart to be able to share the good news effectively. I believe you are the answer for this world. We don't need another man-made, man-centered program. We need you to come and change our hearts and help us to live for you. So if that's your heart right now, would you just take a moment and let the Lord know that? And just with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if that is your desire, would you just lift up your hand and let me pray for you? If you just hold your hand up just for a moment. Thank God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord bless you. You can go ahead and put your hands now, let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today that you love me and you brought someone into my path to share the good news. And Lord, I want to be more effective. I want to not just talk to people. I would like to be able to disciple people, lead them to you. And I know the first step is just to believe. So I ask, Lord, I ask you to burden my heart that when it's easy to condemn, help me to realize here's just another person in need. And outside of your grace, that would be me, or it could be. So I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me. Lord, anoint us to share the good news. Help us to be aware, to look for opportunities, to pray for people. And then when you open that door, would you open our heart and open our mouth to share a word in season of the good news. Ultimately, it's not about us, our kingdom, or our glory. It's about you, your kingdom, your will, and your glory. And may you empower us to be your witnesses. Lord, I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit in this generation. We are here for a time as this. Let your kingdom be advanced through us, Lord, as we make disciples and followers for you. Would you say, Father, I ask you to fill me with the power and love of your Spirit. Help me to be an effective messenger of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this chorus.